Well, I want to welcome any new faces today and those who got up this morning in this beautiful fall day to join us. And we're going to move on to our missions moment with Uncommon. And I'm going to invite Sarah Willis to the podium.
Tall. Good morning, church. Good morning. How is everyone? Yeah. Awesome. Hey, guys. My name is Sarah Willis, as she said. I serve on campus and partner with Uncommon Board, which is our partnership for ministry that we do on campus, and that's teamed up with Coalition of Christian Outreach. And so we have some amazing testimonies already happening on campus this year. And so there's actually two pastors, ministers that serve on campus. It's myself and Jason. So Jason works with the athletes and serves with a particular football. It's called Fight Club. And so he does a study with the football club. And then he also does a Tuesday night Bible study with different athletes that come together to kind of learn and build discipleship that way. And then myself, I have a smaller group. There's about eight of us. We've already doubled since the beginning, just a couple of weeks, which is fantastic. And we're called Anchored. So we're anchored in the Word, and we're really excited. And just in the second week of studying and learning, I've already had a student accept Christ as her Savior. She's asking tons of questions and inviting friends, and we are having open dialogue and just really encouraging just strength and growth in growing the disciples that are already with me. I have several seniors, but inviting those freshmen along for the journey. And I have to tell you that the hunger on campus, the soil is fertile. Please continue to be praying for us. There are many students in need. I will tell you that the Lord really put together an amazing relationship the second week that I was on campus. I met a young man who just happened to come into our study haphazardly, or as you know, God sent this young man, and he was looking for a different club. Turns out he was from Turning Point, and we made a really good connection. 2 days later was the tragedy that happened with Charlie Kirk. And because that young man had introduced himself to me that Monday, we were able to connect with now Turning Point. And so we now have campus ministry working with Turning Point as well and growing there and building relationships. We're building relationships with the local churches here in town. And so you'll see more of my face, more of Jason's face as we come and share, bring our students to experience the local church here. Some of them are local, and some of the students are from as far as Tennessee, even in my study. And so the amazing thing is they get to experience Shippensburg for who we are here, which is amazing because we all love our community. We have a blessed community. And so bringing those students inside the walls of our churches here collectively is a very beautiful thing. So I want to let you know that the Lord is moving powerfully through myself and through Jason being on campus. And your support of the Uncommon Board, who also supports Jason and I to be there on campus, is crucial. It helps us to be able to create events that we're able to share students, not only the current students that we're discipling, but have events that are on a larger scale that we can encourage more people to come join us, check us out. Hey, who's that Jesus guy you talk about, right? And so it gives us the opportunity to reach more people. And how many of you know discipleship is our blood? It is what we are created to do, right? Matthew 19 tells us to go out and be and make disciples and be spreading the gospel. And so Jason and I are just so blessed to be able to partner with Uncommon Board and to be able to partner here with Covenant Brethren. That helps us to serve the campus in such a deeper way. And so just know that we are having lives transformed, making Jesus known on campus. So know that your donations are going to such an amazing cause. Let's continue to pray. We need your prayers for more souls to be touched. We are after souls for the kingdom of God, right? One big capital C church. That's what we pray. That's what we practice. That's what we preach. And we're all looking to harvest that last big harvest before the Lord comes to bless us with his presence. So please continue to pray for us. I thank you so much for your prayers and your time and your financial donations. And it means so much to us. And I know campus is on fire and electric. And I just thank you so much for all that you continue to do for us. Thank you.
If you'll turn your attention to the screen and please rise as we invite the praise team to come and lead us in worship.
I invite you to stand if you're able, and we will start with Shout to the Lord.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hand. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll sing. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you. By Jesus, my Savior, to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship you.
Continue with Jesus Messiah.
Humbled himself and carried the cross.
Part of our worship service with Hungry.
Jesus, you're all.
So Brother Earl and I are going to do things a little different today. We're going to sort of tag team this one. And his sermon is entitled, Greater Is He, and we will be reading from 1 John chapter 4, starting with verse 1, if you want to turn in your Bibles, and there are some there in the pews.
I'll be calling on Sari to share scripture as we come to it. This is such a powerful thing. I want to open the message today with a little bit of background. John, the apostle or disciple, is the author of 5 books in the New Testament. Sometimes we don't realize who we're studying under or where we're getting our information from, but he is the author of the Gospel of John, which we're pretty familiar with, and of course he's the writer of the book of Revelation. We know him as John the Revelator, but very few people realize he also wrote 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. So we've got 5 books all total he's done. Now, John was one of the 12 disciples, so that makes him an eyewitness to everything that Jesus said and did while he was there. So he has real authority to speak here with also the guiding of the Holy Spirit. John was a special disciple close to Jesus because Jesus actually named him and called him the disciple, or he had the name of being the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, to point that out for you and to drive it home, how close their relationship was, when Jesus was on the cross, his mother was there and John was beside her, the one disciple that actually was present at the crucifixion up close there. Now, they may have been standing off some distance, but John was there close in sight with Jesus' mother, Mary, standing beside him. Jesus looked down off the cross and said, Son, behold thy mother, and mother, behold thy son. He was asking John to take up his role as the son of Mary and to see that she was provided and cared for. Now, there were other children in the family, but Jesus did what Jesus always did. He loved to the fullest degree, and he asked John, someone he loved, trusted, and knew well, to look after his mom. This particular book, the 1 John, and we're going to be in chapter 4, it was written with the purpose of encouraging believers, of combating false teachings that believers would face, and assuring believers of their salvation. Because that question comes up sometimes. I'm a pastor. I've been in the ministry for years. And there are times when I stop and think about, what is my relationship with God? How sure am I that I am saved? And can I say with confidence that I'm going to go to heaven? That's what I'm looking forward to and working toward with my life, my energy, my words, and everything else that's involved. John takes that question and he addresses it, but he does so in an extremely unique way. All of John's books, all 5 of them, not just the Gospel and Revelation, are very spiritual writings. And I want you to take that to heart. If you ever get a chance just to read his books, read those 5, and see how spiritual and powerful John and his relationship with Jesus and with God was. He calls us in his books to live in obedience to God, to love others. That was what Jesus taught almost above all other things, to love God and love other people like you love God. And if you have that kind of love in your life, then God is with you and there's no doubt about it in your heart. Share that truth which Jesus taught with others. All of that radiates from the writings of John. Today's text is no exception. It's about the incarnation, Jesus coming to be in the flesh with us. It's about the Holy Spirit. Now that's what stands out in John's writing. It's about the Spirit dwelling in us. When does the Holy Spirit come on you? I'm not going to put you on the spot and make you, but I saw a couple people starting to answer, bless their hearts. It comes when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. With your profession of faith, when you begin to walk and to imitate Jesus, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. It's a promise from Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit coming, Jesus promised it. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to be gone, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send, or my Father will be sending, a comforter to be with you, something that will teach you, something that will guide you, something that will remind you of all the things that we have discussed and that I have showed you and talked to you about. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our life. It is God's love literally in us, through us, exuding from us. Because we learned when we were knee-high to a grasshopper that God is love, right? God is love. And if the Holy Spirit, which is God also, the third person, resides in you, then that love resides in you. And because you have God's love in your life, you can't help but to love other people. That's what John wants us to learn. Five times in these verses, 1 through 16, he tells us that we are of and from God. Brothers and sisters, I want you to hear that. We're not here by accident. We're just not another knot on a log. We are representatives in this world, sent here like Jesus was, but not the same mission, from him. He created us in his image. And the Holy Spirit abides in us, so God is in us too. We are of and from God. And depending on the translation that you can read different. It means we come from God or we belong to God. I like that, belong to God. When we give our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're telling the world we're his property. We always have been. But now we're letting the world know we know it, and we're taking it to the core of our being. The key verse in chapter 4, 1 John 4, is the second half of verse 4. I want to call it 4b. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Now, let those words settle for a moment. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. All right? Who is in me? I just told you, the Holy Spirit. Greater is the Holy Spirit within me than he who is in the world. Now, who is in the world?
Antichrist.
That's the devil. That's Satan, the evil one. So the Holy Spirit within us, the presence of God within us, makes us greater than anything the devil can throw at us. That's what John is saying in those words. Now, I want to remind you of two things before we hear the first verses of the scripture. Number one is Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would come and be here. I told you that a moment ago. And it has come. It does come when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number two, the second thing I want to tell you is that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, its living, its residence in us is permanent. You hear me? It don't come and go. Some people have the idea that the Holy Spirit's sort of like a spigot on the outside of the house somewhere. You can turn it on and turn it off. And you can turn it on so it squirts out harder and faster, or you can tone it down and so it just down to a drop, maybe here and there. That ain't the way the Holy Spirit works. You don't have any power over it. It has power over you. The Holy Spirit's there and it's all there. The power of God is present in you and it's going nowhere as long as you love the Lord. It's staying there. Jesus told us that. Jesus said, we are in, but not of the world. So this isn't our home. We call it home. We talk about the houses and things that we live in. But this isn't our final destination. Our destination is what Jesus prepared the way for. The kingdom of heaven. An eternal life. Not this mortal one. An eternal life that we get to live with God. Praising and enjoying love and fellowship all the rest of time. Not a day, time. Now I want you, having had that introduction, to listen as we hear the first three verses of John, 1 John chapter 4.
Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world.
We will face many spirits in this lifetime and in this world. Some of them are good, and some of them are evil. And we need to learn to tell the difference. It's called, in church language, discernment. We use the word every now and then, not often, but that's what we have to learn to do. What is good and of God, and what is bad and not from God, from Satan, or from the world. John is telling us we're going to face these spirits, and we need to test them. I like the fact that he used that word. When you want to know something and know you have a proper understanding or command of it, you test yourself. You see if you do understand it, and is a spirit from God or not from God is an important question for us to ask. The spirits that are from God, John tells us, we can recognize because they acknowledge Jesus as the Son of God. As God among us in the flesh. We call that in church language incarnation. Maybe we ought to do one of the topics on church language when we do that special sermon on November the 9th. Because all these words, we hear them sometimes, read them, you know, in our Sunday school lessons. But do we really understand them completely? So the incarnation is a word that theologians use to describe Jesus became flesh. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh. That's incarnation. It took the form of a human being like you and me. God came in the flesh and he came with a purpose. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's plan. Jesus is the fulfillment of God's will. Jesus is what God did to get us back on the right track. And in the right relationship with him. We had a broken relationship that goes all the way back with Adam and Eve in the garden. And we couldn't fix it. We've tried for hundreds of years, thousands of years. Couldn't do it. God knew that. And knowing everything as he does, he sent his son to make it right. To help us restore that broken relationship. And there's an evil in this world. Satan was cast down out of heaven. Make no bones about it. Satan is not the red-skinned, horny, long-tailed, pitchfork-toting, fire-breathing, comic book-type depiction. Satan's anything and everything that will entice you, tease you, perk your interest. Try to draw you away from and out of the hands of God. Make you think there's another way to go. That's Satan. And he's pretty. He's good looking. And he's smart. He knows the Bible. He knows God. And he knows he's already lost. And he's a sore loser. He wants to make sure he takes as many of us with him as he can. That's his game. Satan wants to drag us down to hellfire and damnation with him. I hope that don't hurt your feelings that I use those words, more church language. Sheol or hell, it's a real place. And the biggest lie Satan has ever sold is it don't exist. Well, yes, it does. And there will be many who will wind up there because they have not receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. The spirits of the Antichrist, you heard the word, the evil one, and the spirits of the world, things that are out here around about us that are all shiny and glittery, trying to entice us and get our attention and take our heart away, like karate classes and cheerleading and football camp and it don't matter, a TV show, fishing, fixing the car, cooking a dinner, having the family over. All of those are things that keep us from giving our time and attention to the Lord. And they're all sowed by the devil to entice you away from what you would be learning and doing if you spent that time in the presence of God. That was just those first three verses. Now let's hear 4-6.
You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Believers, those who give their heart to Jesus, who love the Holy Spirit residing in their life and can't help but love because that's what it is, pure, they are from God and they have the Holy Spirit. They are you. That's what you're supposed to be. When you were baptized and you made that public profession, that's what baptism is, an outward sign of an inward change. When you let the world know that you believed in who Jesus is and what he came for, and you want to follow him, when you made that decision, then the Holy Spirit becomes a part of who and what you are, and it isn't inactive. It is there for a purpose. It aids you in overcoming the Antichrist and the evil spirits of the world. Because the Antichrist and the evil spirits can't hear God. They don't understand God. They don't want to. But you have turned your ear and your heart to God. Now you can hear him, and he reveals through the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit what the scriptures are saying and what is a good spirit of God and what is an evil spirit of Satan. And when we have God's love in our life, we know we are hearing the voice of God when he speaks. I've heard so many people say it. You know, I was driving down the road and all of a sudden it just came in my mind that I needed to do this. And so I did it, and lo and behold, God bless me. When you listen to God, he will. He always does. I just heard one of the most amazing stories here the other day. A poor fella, they call him poor by standards. He wasn't poor. He had a home, he had a farm and things like that, but he didn't have a lot of money, so they called him poor. The Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to give a dump truck load of sand to build a local church. They're talking about building a church now, and I want you to help. I want you to give a dump truck load of sand. He said, well, okay, Lord, I trust you. I love you. If that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. So he went to the church when it was open on Sunday. Sure enough, there was a committee and a group of people there saying, we got to build a church. They were in one, but we need to build something better than what we got. And he stood up and he said, the Lord put it on my heart that I'm to give you a dump truck load of sand to help build the church. Well, the preacher said, well, brother, do you realize what you're saying? Because a dump truck load of sand, that's a whole lot of money. That's even more than what a lot of these people are already pledging and promising to give towards the building of the church. Do you think you can do that? He said, I don't think I can. I know I can. God told me that's what I need to do, so I'm going to do it. The very next day, which was Monday, he went to a local building and supply. He said, I want to talk to the boss man. And the fellow said, well, don't everybody just get to talk to the boss man. He said, I need to talk to the boss man. Show me where he's at. So he went. He walked into the boss man, and with all the boldness he could muster, he said, I need you to sell me a truckload of sand, and I want you to divide it up in 12 installment pays so I can pay you over the next year. This is for the building of the church. The owner of that business dropped to his knees right in front of that man and his employee that was standing beside him and began to weep and praise God. He said, I just told the Lord, if you're real, if you exist, I want you to have somebody walk into my office, ask for a truckload of sand, and tell me they want to build a church, and that I have to tell them they can pay it over 12 months' time. God moves in mighty and mysterious ways, There is nothing he can't do. All things are possible with God. We need to start acting like that. We need to act and speak as if things are, even though they are not yet. It's because we believe and we trust the power of God and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Verses 7 and 8.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
We love one another because Jesus asked us to, and because the Father wants us to. This is how God identifies his children. Are you hearing me? God knows you love him. God knows you have the Holy Spirit in you when you love other people. God identifies his children and lets others know that you have a relationship with him. When I first came here to Shippensburg, I don't know if I've told this before, Brother Bill or Sarah might even know. When I went down to the Kmart, I was in the line at the checkout counter. I hadn't been here 2 or 3 weeks. So I was new to the community. Nobody really knew me yet. But I was in line with other people, and like one of the brothers back there said, you're just a real chatty Cathy. You can talk pretty much to anybody. God gave you the gift of gab, and I don't lie, he did. You can't preach unless you've got that gift. Well, I was in line, and I struck up conversations with perfect strangers beside me, around me. And when my term came and I got up to the checkout clerk and had my items on the counter, didn't have much, but a few, she didn't say, well, what else do you need, sir? She said, tell me, are you a preacher? Out of the blue. I smiled real big and said, yes, ma'am, I have that honor. I get to proclaim the word of God. She said, I thought so. I could tell by the way you was carrying on in the line right there. It's like you was greeting your congregation. I said, well, yep, this place could be. We don't need to be afraid or shy or backward about letting people see that we are the sons and daughters of the Most High King. God has made it evident in our lives, and if you are living and loving as Jesus and God desire you to, it's no secret. You cannot be. There is no such thing as a closet Christian. It does not exist. If you don't love, then God's not in you. And when you don't love, then you know who he is. And that ain't good. Verses 9 through 11.
This is how God showed his love for us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
God showed his love for us. You hearing what I'm saying? Listen, it's important. God showed how much he loves us by sending his Son into this world so that we could be restored in our relationship with him and so that we could gain eternal life and live with him. Jesus came with a mission, with a purpose. He came to show us and to motivate us to love. Real love, now listen, this is tricky. Real love is not us loving God. You hear me? Real love is not you loving God or me loving God. Real love is God already loving you. Yet when we were still in our sins, God loves us. Let that soak to your bone. Doesn't that humble your heart? Can you realize what God has done, what Jesus did and went through because God loves you that much, he sent his son as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. He didn't just take our place. He paid our debt. The wages of sin is death. Jesus died. Our debt has been paid. Now, free men and women, we can express the love of God, and we ought to love God in a true and honest response to his grace. Now here are verses 12 through 16.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him.
Thank you. I'm glad I didn't cut that off. That's important. The closest we will ever come to seeing God's face. Are you listening to me? You know, nobody ever saw the face of God. Even Moses, when he was up on the mountain, had to be sheltered. And when he came down, his persona was so different. He glowed literally, and the Israelites were afraid to even get too close to him because the power of God just bathed over top of him. Nobody's ever seen God except Jesus. Jesus is the only one that saw God. The closest we are ever going to get to seeing God until we get to go to heaven, till we have that eternal life, is when we love each other. I already told you, the Holy Spirit in you is God. God is love. When the Holy Spirit resides in you, you love. And when you love others, you are exuding God upon others. Now, I want you to hear that again. The closest we have come to seeing God is in the act of loving others. God's love is fully expressed in that act of loving. The Holy Spirit is proof. The Holy Spirit is evidence that God is in us and we are in him. So we, like Jesus, who said he was in the Father and the Father was in him, and so having seen him, we saw the Father. Now we see love and see the Father. John's telling this profound truth so that we can say with confidence that the Father sent his Son Jesus into this world to save us. And anybody who's willing to say that, if you're bold enough to go out here on the sidewalks and the streets and in the gas stations and in the aisles of Walmart or anywhere else you go during the week, the other 6 days, if you're willing to go and say that you love God and that the Holy Spirit and God are living in you, then you are identified as one of his children. That is the proof. We know how much God loved us, so we can trust his love. God is love, and all who love live in God, for God is love. It almost sounds like a circle, doesn't it? Because there's nothing broken inside of God. He's complete. He's whole. Everything comes from him and ends with him, if it has an end. That's why love is such an important thing. Sari didn't read, and I didn't ask her to, verse 17. But I'm going to read it to you. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Told you earlier, we're in the world, but not of it. We don't want part of its wickedness. We don't want anything to do with Satan, the devil, his demons, his cunning. the dragon, whatever language you want to use that's all in Scripture. We want God to reside in us. When the Holy Spirit does, our love, God's love in us, grows, becomes more perfect, gets deeper and stronger, and it results in no fear. Now, I see the secular world thinks that's their words, no fear. It's in Scripture. We have no fear. You say, well, preacher, no fear of what? No fear of death, no fear of judgment, because we know God resides in us, and He has made a promise, and God keeps His word. God is with us. God is within us by the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. We now live, brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've heard it before, and I'm about to wrap this up, so get this point. We now live in the age of the Holy Spirit. Creation and all God did with His prophets and every kings and judges and all of that was under the old covenant. Jesus came and showed us what God really wanted because we'd strayed from it so bad. And He established the new covenant. And when Jesus ascended into heaven, He didn't leave us empty-handed. He sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to give us discernment, to make us strong and powerful in our faith and be willing to show others how to love God too. Loving them the way God wants us to. That's our mission. We call it the Great Commission. Go out and love people, even the ones that are hard to love. And some of them are. Even the ones that are hard to love, we love in the name of Jesus. Let all God's people say, amen. Thank you, Sister Sari. Closing hymn, I think, is 90. Hymn number 90. Ha ha.